Welcome to the Lotus Lounge. This is a place for purity, rebirth, and strength. As we've all grown and evolved, this is a place for us to come and share our collective and individual experiences to help one another, to thrive, to see more, to do more, and to be more. So, this is your place, your safe space, to come together with like-minded individuals, those who you can glean from, learn from, and lean to. So, I look forward for what's to come. Welcome to the Lotus Lounge. Welcome to the Lotus Lounge, a place for purity, rebirth, and strength. My name is Dr. Jasmine T. Agnew, but my friends call me Dr. J. And I am so excited to be here for this rebranding and relaunch. Many of you listeners remember Big Life Live. Big stands for beautiful, inspired, and gifted. I started this podcast in 2019 alongside with two of my co-hosts. It was a great experience, but as time went on, our lives and our focus changed. I've appreciated every episode and every experience. They've been tremendous as I have transitioned into this new season. In this new chapter, I see the importance of a safe place that supports a soft life with comfort and low stress. A safe place is always a value. My hope is to provide that for many of my listeners. Now, on to tonight's episode. My special guest tonight is Mary Kay. She brings decades of experience and success in the broadcast industry. Her experience and her distinctive voice and energy draws listeners from every genre. She is a pioneer for women in the radio broadcast industry. And not only that, but I consider Mary Kay to be my sister and my friend. So please help me welcome Mary Kay to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Dr. J. I'm excited to be here. This is fun.
Awesome. I'm so excited that you could join me tonight for this rebranding and relaunch. You know, Big Life Live was a lot of fun. Back when we did it, we talked about a lot of pertinent issues that women, people of color, and just women in general dealt with, and even just people that had to deal with the everyday being in a certain generation, you know. And so now this rebranding is just for us to move beyond just talking about the relationship issues and the what we need to do to become better, to be better partners, but let's talk about what it means to be a better self. And so that is why, you know, I was absolutely open and excited about rebranding, relaunching, and becoming the Lotus Lounge. I don't know, not many people notice, but I have the Lotus tattooed on the back of my leg, and it has the pathway. And it's always a symbol of the pathway to enlightenment. And so I'm hoping that someone can just take some nuggets from what we talk about in our show and use it as their pathway to enlightenment. So tonight we're going to discuss enraged versus enlightened, the false narrative. As women, we're often faced with the task of being the quietest in the room. And when we aren't, we're labeled as too loud or too aggressive, when the real issue is that we are just too smart. You know, that applies across the board. It's not just in business, not just in relationships, not just in church. It's just about everywhere, because as you can see, anytime a woman is aggressive, and I'm not, you know, on the side of the aggressor, but if she acts up, they give her a nickname. They call her a name. We hear it called called Karen or something of that nature. Now, am I saying Karen, the women that they label as Karen are wrong, are right? No, I'm absolutely not. But what I'm saying is, it's just, you know, it's just comical to me sometimes how they have a label for that. But do they ever have a label for a man that's overly aggressive? Or a man that is very vocal and loud? And, you know, oftentimes he's seen as what they call an alpha male. But if a woman speaks out, she's seen in a negative light. So let's talk about that tonight. Let's talk about how it applies to business, relationships, religion, and any other sector.
Well, I think this is a very interesting topic because it does apply to every facet in life, Dr. J. It truly does. It applies professionally, personally, on so many different levels. And, you know, to me, it kind of, there's no, the lines are always blurred when it comes to that. And I remember very early on, my dad always telling me, if you accept it once, that's going to be the expectation of everybody around you, whether that's in a business setting or in a friendship or a love relationship. If you expect it once, you have now set the standard. And I used to think about that in everything that I go into in life. And do I follow it 100%? No. But especially in business culture, I really did. I did listen to my dad on that. And I remember very early on, you got to think I got into radio in 1992. So very male dominated business. And I remember we were at a conference and it was a small group. And I was the only woman in the small group. So immediately they said, will you take notes? And I kindly said, no.
Right, because they didn't hire you to be a secretary, I'm sure.
Yeah, I said, I'm not the secretary of the group. So, no, I contribute to the group. So I just remember my dad always saying, if you accept it once, you have now set the standard. So I try to work that into my everyday life. And it's okay to say no. You don't have to be mean about it. But oftentimes, sometimes when you say no, just even the mere fact of you not agreeing to something almost puts you in a box and gets you labeled as whatever it could be, difficult, not a team player, not a partner in a relationship, a one-sided friendship. You know what I mean, Dr. J?
I do. Well, I guess my question for that, just to piggyback off what you just said, you know, if we set the standard that one time and we accept something, that sets the standard going forward. But why is it that if I'm nice, you don't always expect me to be nice? But if I'm ugly, even if I'm ugly one time, you always expect me to be ugly. You always expect me to be overly aggressive. You always expect me to cuss or to show out or to raise my voice when it's a one-time occurrence and it's based on the context of what's going on right now. I'm looked at as being an angry woman, in my case, an angry Black woman, if there are 365 days when I'm soft spoken and I rarely raise my voice, the one day I raise my voice, you paint me forever as to be the angry Black woman that raises her voice. Why is it that if there are 365 days when I'm cutting up, that one time when I'm being as sweet as pie, you never notice that? Why is there such a negative and positive based on how I respond to a situation? Oh, I hear crickets.
Can you hear me now?
Did we lose connect? Oh, I can hear you now. I thought we had lost connection.
Sorry. What I was saying is, I think human people in general are so fascinated by negative things, drama, things that cause attention to something. And the rationale is, if you think about traffic, you could be on the opposite side of the highway. The accident could be on the other side, but you're stuck in traffic for 2 hours because everybody has to look at it. People are so consumed by negativity. I think that's, you know, I think that's the reason why people hold on to that one time that you showed out. And they hold on to it. But you know what? That's a cross they have to bear. And if they're not willing to see the whole person, that's on them. Right. And unfortunately,
and
you can't change.
I mean, right. I agree. I can remember in my former. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think there's a delay.
Yeah, I hear a little delay, too. I do think, unfortunately, there's people that you just have to accept that that's how they are and that's how they view you. But there's also a good portion of people that don't operate in that manner too. And those are the people that you need to connect with and stay with and, you know, be a partner to, or a work relationship, be close with, because those are the people that will support you long term.
I absolutely agree. I can remember my graduation party, which was a few weeks ago, where you came and were an awesome MC for our event. There were people there from my former employer. Now, at my former employer, there are some people that had me painted as this angry and aggressive and way too passionate and way too loud Black woman. But then there were other people that knew me that did not mind taking that flight and coming from Salt Lake City or coming from Indiana to come and celebrate, because they knew who I was. They saw me on those other days, not those days where my frustration, which was it was never anger. It was just frustration at the time. They painted me in this light when people who know me know that that's the furthest from the truth. But that is what happens, you know. Even in relationships, you can be in a relationship and you can be with a person that is not the best partner, and you can be quiet. And, you know, even that song, what is that song? A Thin Line. The music talks about, how you can, you know, when a woman gets fed up, there's a very thin line between love and hate. When I continue to take your abuse, or I continue to take you being condescending or being negative to me, and when I respond, the attention is drawn to me and my negativity, and my, which is not even really negativity, it's just a response in that one instance. And we ignore everything that precipitated, everything that caused that. We ignore those factors. And like you said, that applies to business, that applies to relationships, that can apply in religious organizations, all of these things. And it is because, like you said, people are so fascinated by the negative.
Yeah, I really do believe that. And I just think people are so consumed with, you know, gossip and negativity and drama. And I really try my best to not allow myself to enter into those areas. Because, you know, you always got, what do they call it? The office water cooler talk. Like, oh, for I am sure. The last to find out about anything at every job I ever worked at, because I don't want to know. Because I don't want to be called on the carpet say, oh, well, you knew this happened. Oh, no, Mary Kay did not know none of that.
And oftentimes we're called on the carpet, and it's almost as if the weight is put on us heavier, even if we have the least input into what was happening, just because we're women. And for me, I can tell you, as a Black woman, that was definitely something that happened. I was in that organization for 7 years. I was the only African-American program leader in that entire organization. We're talking about over 100,000 students, over 60 academic programs. So if something went wrong, you, especially in the College of Health Professions, you best believe that I heard about it and knew about it off top, especially if it was something that went wrong. If it was something that went right, very rare. I was usually the last one to hear about it. But if it was something that was wrong, I was probably the first one that heard about it.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, I would say for a good majority of my career, I have worked for really outstanding men who really kind of really supported women in leadership. So sometimes I've really never had to deal with a supervisor that would, you know, kind of do that whole, oh, don't get so angry or whatever. But it has been from colleagues or people that are at a different level, you know, the structure wise, because I think sometimes we get very passionate about what we do.
Oh,
and
for sure.
Sometimes that is very misinterpreted by many people. And that is not only in business culture, that is just in life. I remember I was working on a project, and it was a mixed group, diverse group, men, women, different age groups. And one of my counterparts, African-American woman, she was very adamant about a decision. And the group was vote, like the vote was split, right? And so she got labeled the angry Black woman. And I was like, and you know me, I'm like, that's unfair because she's telling you what you don't want to hear. She's angry. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But it truly does happen. And stereotype, because I think sometimes passion gets confused with anger. And there, to me, there is a definite difference between someone being angry and someone being passionate.
Absolutely. Because if you think about passion, that means that you're excited, you're dedicated to this, this is important to you. And yes, sometimes there's excitement, and that excitement may take my voice up a decibel. But there's a difference in me being really passionate about what I'm talking about, and me really just really being angry about what I'm talking about. There's a difference in the tone. But if you don't pay attention to me and who I am in my everyday, you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't pay attention to that. So I think it also is indicative and reflective of the people that we deal with not really paying attention or observing who we are as individuals before labeling us as enraged versus enlightened.
Yeah, like I have to tell them, I'm like, listen, you're going to know I'm angry because I'm a very transparent person. I'm going to tell you that I'm angry, so there is no confusion.
There's no guessing. There's no
When it comes to me, there is no guesswork, but I do believe that some women, not all women, some women do leave a little mystery where other, like colleagues or in a romantic relationship or a friendship, sometimes they do leave you guessing. And men do that too. I think that's just sometimes a human trait to kind of leave people guessing on how they feel. But then when you go to express how you feel about something, and I always say, I'm going to tell you how I feel about this. I may be 100% wrong, but these are my feelings. Mm-hmm. And my feelings to me are not wrong. So I need you to hear me on how I feel, and explain to me how you think that how I feel is misguided, or I interpreted something incorrectly. But a lot of people, especially in romantic relationships, if you are really, truly expressing how you feel and you shut me down to tell me that I'm wrong, I feel extremely disrespected because those are my feelings.
Or if you call me angry and I'm not angry, I'm just passionate. Because for me, people that know me know that as long as you can still hear me, I'm not angry. But when I get quiet, that's when I'm angry. And that looks totally different than this false narrative that's created just because you think that I'm enraged and you think that I'm being loud and I'm angry and I'm about to do something. No, if I'm angry, you won't hear anything from me because I get very, very quiet. But if you don't know me, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah, that's a whole nother dynamic that people don't, and I don't know if the pandemic hurt us on this, but I really truly think it was before then. I think people don't take time to get to know someone anymore.
Oh, for sure.
Like, and even in business culture, I feel like people don't take the time to know their employees. I've been lucky because I've worked for managers and for companies that really believe that leadership was a role of serving and not dictatorship. Now, granted, you know, at times, you know, the boss got to lay the law and, you know, tell, you know, give the directions, but really about serving the people that report to them. So I've come from that culture. So I've been lucky about that. But, you know, I think now people are so, even down to dating, like, people don't take the time to get to know somebody. So when somebody actually takes an effort to reach out to me, whether it's through the sorority or at work or a community group or just somebody I meet at a conference, they actually take the time to get to know Mary. That means a lot to me. So I'll invest the time back with them.
Mm-hmm. So you'll know if they're upset or if they're just passionate, if they're just enlightened. And they're passionate about what they know, of course.
Like, my best friend in the world is my cousin Doug. I have known him since like birth, basically. And we connected on so many different levels, especially from the music end. And when I call him and I can hear the tone in his voice, I know immediately, like, hey, what's going on? Oh, man, I am so stressed out. I was like, yeah, I could hear it in your voice. How can I help you? Same thing with me. He'll be like, you're sad. What is going on? Oh, man, I just got in my feelings. I saw an older couple at Aldi and made me think of mom and dad, got in my feelings. You know, like, but we've known each other, but he took the time and invested in me. And likewise, I invested in him, so we know each other. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I do think, like, the world of the internet and these dating apps sometimes takes the luxury of spending time and getting to know each other.
Oh, really? Yeah, absolutely. And because, and like you said, because of pandemic, we don't have that time to spend shoulder to shoulder and in each other's space. We can only make our judgment based on what we see on the internet. How people put on a front for the internet all the time.
Oh, yes. So they put a front. Honey, they put a front on in relationships at work. Like, fronting is at an all-time high.
Absolutely. And so if you don't really know who that person is, you won't be able to tell whether they are really talking about something that they're very knowledgeable about or whether they are getting upset. If they are getting upset, then you have to know how to handle it and not label this person, because they're not always angry. They're just upset right now.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just think back to the different scenarios that I have been in, where that pressure's been applied to me and maybe I've been overwhelmed and I have actually gotten upset or I've snapped at somebody. I've always, after I have gotten myself together, it might even be the next day, I apologize. I may have been right in what I was saying, but my delivery was 100% wrong, and I apologize. And whether they choose to keep that memory in their bank and that's what they judge me off on is up to them. That's their cross to bear. That's up to them and the decision they make. But I have to make sure that I am operating in a way of trying to be kind. But then again, sometimes you can't be kind to everybody.
Right. But I found that even in those situations when I can't be that kind to you, me yelling and screaming and appearing to be angry will classify me, and they'll think that I'm just as ignorant as you. And that is not what I want. I do not want them to think that we're both, oh my God, they're over there arguing. Both of them are crazy. No, we're not. So I will always watch how I respond to you before they think that both of us are crazy.
Right.
Both of us are angry. I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And then even so, even if I get very angry and we're in mixed company or in certain circles, I'm not going to respond to you right then. Now, after that meeting is over, we may be on the phone call later and we may talk about it later, but we're not going to. And as women, I really feel like that's definitely the instance where we need to, you know, it's you know how people have that dynamic about their family, is that I may fight with you, but I'm not going to let anybody else fight with you. We need to be more like that when it comes to being women and being supportive of one another, is, you know, we may scrap between us and we may have these passionate and these heated conversations, this heated fellowship. But when it comes to us and other people classifying us, I'm not going to let them label my friends. I'm not going to let them label my business partners. If you don't know them, you can't classify them as being enraged or angry because you don't know them. And I'm going to stand with them. Now, if they're wrong, after it's over, I'm like, hey, Mary, look.
You know you was dead wrong.
You know you dead wrong, but I ain't not gonna let them clap. I'm not gonna let them paint you that way. But you know you dead wrong. But I think we need to do a better job because you know, like I know, sometimes when we're in these meetings where the boys club likes to classify us as angry, there are definitely some of those women that will side with the boys and say, "Oh my God, you're right. She is angry."
Well, let me tell you, I have gained so much wisdom from my daddy. I remember one time I went to him and I was just crying. I was like, Daddy, there's these certain people at work. They're lying about me. And I'm just so upset. I mean, like, it broke my heart because I really try to be a mentor. I try to lift people up. Like, you know, I believe that's what you're supposed to do, especially in broadcasting. And so my dad just, he listened to me and he was like, so you can't determine what people say about you. You can't control the other person. I was like, yeah. He's like, your character speaks volumes for you when you're not present. So if somebody goes to somebody else that knows you and they're spreading rumors or talking very badly about you, this person has a choice whether to engage in that conversation or say, that's not the Mary I know, and excuse themselves from it. So he's like, you always have to remember, if you are always leading with good character, your good character will speak volumes for you when you are not present. And if those people that know you choose to believe it, then they're not your friend anyways.
That's true. Absolutely true. Very wise, very wise, very, very wise from Mr. Bud. That was his name?
Yes, Mr.
Yes,
Bud, I miss
Mr.
that
Bud.
guy.
Absolutely. All
But
right.
it's crazy that those concerns come over us, like, what do people think of me? You know, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I think that way now, even this many years. Oh, what does this person think of me? And then I have to catch myself and say, you know what? You are worthy, you are good, you have this position. You are involved with this, you know, don't worry about the people that may not believe in you, because as long as you believe in yourself and you have a tight-knit circle of people that can lift you up, because Lord knows, Dr. J, you have lifted me up more than once or twice in my life.
And you have done the same thing for me. Thank you very much.
Hey, do you remember that one time when I
Uh-oh, your phone went out. Your phone, your phone went out. Are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. Your phone went out.
Why it keeps on going in and out? But do you remember that day we sat in my office? You must have talked me off the ledge for like 30 minutes.
Oh gosh, when was this?
This is God, like 2009,
Oh gosh, I don't even remember what I wore yesterday. No, I don't. What was I talking about? What were we talking about?
Listen, I was about to drop out of meteorology school. I was like, man, I
Oh
haven't been in
yeah.
school in years. I can't do it. And you was like, you can. Just, you haven't been in school in some time. Just don't be so hard on yourself.
Right. Listen, people tell me all the time, "Oh, Dr. J, you helped and you talked to me." I'm like, what was I saying? I was probably sober, but I don't remember. Like my mind is bad. My mind is bad, but I'm just glad it can help. That lets you know that it was not Jasmine speaking. It was Dr. J or the good Lord speaking through me, because I don't remember what I was talking about. I don't remember what I said.
But honestly, you know, you never know who you can, you know, lift up with just some encouraging words, just, you know, telling somebody, hey, that was a good job on, like, in a relationship, like, you know, thank you so much for doing this, and this for me. That might make their whole day.
But that's great, and I agree. But what happens when you never remember all the times that I can say that? And I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about our friendship, I'm talking about in our relationships and even business. When you can never remember every company book that I give you, or every kudos that I give you, or every, hey, you did a great job, but that one time that I get a little passionate or I speak a little louder in a meeting, that's what you remember. That's why it's so hard for us to be supportive of one another, because nobody remembers when you're supportive, but they will remember when you cuss somebody out. They do remember when you get a little angry. So do you not think that it makes it harder for us to legitimately be uplifting and be kind and help to enlighten people when they never remember those things? They only remember when you're being ugly.
Well, that's a good question. I that that you got you kind of got me stumped on that. I don't know. They say I have a way of gracefully reminding people of accomplishments.
I'm not
So,
even graceful with it. I'm not.
what movie was it? She told, was it Eddie Murphy? Was it Eartha Kitt? Sometimes you have to toot your own horn or something. She said, you know, sometimes you got to toot your own horn.
Right. But you know what? Even when it comes to that, you know, that's probably a totally different podcast for us to do. Even if I start to talk to toot my own horn, not only have you labeled me as being an angry black woman, you labeled me as somebody that likes to brag and talk about themselves all the time. Not me sharing it because I want to encourage you that you can do it too, because that's always been my goal. I've always wanted to share my story coming from rural Mississippi, sitting at that table, and my grandmother telling me that you'll never leave here. You'll always be stuck at your mama's house living off the government, to now being not only achieving my doctoral degree by 40, but also being in leadership at one of the most prestigious HBCUs in the nation. I can't talk about that because if I talk about that, I'm bragging. And if I get a little louder, then my soft and sweet voice, I'm being loud and angry. So if I'm so loud and I'm so angry, what is my what's my motivation to continue to do well? What will motivate me to continue to do the right thing if when I'm trying to share how I've been blessed and I'm passionate about what I do, it's painted as me being the angry black woman or being braggadocious? Let's add that to the list of things that we're labeled as.
I live by this statement that people come to the party at different times. Like you can have a party, like your fantastic celebration of you receiving being Dr. J. Did everybody come at the time on the invitation?
Of course they
No.
do.
Did everybody leave at the time of the invitation? No.
No.
People came and go. People come to the party at different times in your life too. So people that cannot receive any uplift and they consider it bragging, you know what? Those people don't need to be in your life to begin with. And you just have to recognize that and treat them accordingly. And that goes for family, that goes for relationships of any dynamic, and in business culture too. In business culture, you just have to figure out a way to navigate and work around them or with them, knowing how they are. And that's unfortunate, but that is a fact of life. People come to the party at different times. And
Absolutely.
sometimes the person that was, oh, she's a braggart, you know, later on in the party might be convinced, like, oh, this is a very uplifting story. So I say never dim your light just because it kind of makes somebody else uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so my
And I
next
think
qu I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's a difference between telling a story or something motivational that helped you. I think there's a difference between trying to help someone and trying to, as you know, they say, stunt on somebody to be brag, to
Oh, for
brag.
sure, for sure.
There's a big difference between that. And if a person can't tell the difference, then that's really on them.
Right. And you know, my play brother, he has a statement, and he always says, my biggest flex is that I don't have to. My real life is dope enough. Like, I don't have to flex on you. I don't have to
Oh, that's
stunt
a
on
good
you.
one.
Yeah, if I can just tell you about what I do in a week, and you'll and that's a flex. That's I don't have and I don't even have to make anything up. But that was the kind of life that was the life that I wanted. That was a life that aligned with, even now I have a scripture that I hold close that says, I am convinced of this, that I shall see the goodness of the Lord while yet in the land of the living. And I am convinced that is that I'm going to live a good life while I'm still on this earth, on this side of the ground to enjoy it. And if this is a part of that good life, which I'm convinced it is, why would I not be willing to share that with somebody? And why would you paint me as a braggart? Because I am. Again, a totally different podcast, because we'll definitely have to talk about how it ain't stunting, it's just telling the truth. But it ain't stunting. I'm just telling you the truth. But you know, just to get back in scope of what we're talking about, you're absolutely right. Sometimes people just take what you say and take it the wrong way and paint you with this label that has absolutely nothing to do with who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. So it brings me to my next question. You know, just thinking about in business, in church, maybe not so much in your church, because I don't think there are any female leaders in your church. I'm not really sure. You can correct me on that. But in business, in relationships, in education, in just about every one of those facets, there is a woman somewhere in leadership. If I'm so angry and I'm causing so much trouble, why is it then when you're almost ready to tank, you call a woman to come save you?
You trying to hit some nerves tonight.
I'm just asking, if I'm so loud and I get on your nerves so much and you have so many negative things to say, why do you see some of the most successful universities led by women? Some of the successful Fortune 500 companies led by women? Some successful churches led by women? If I'm so loud and I'm such a problem and I'm so aggressive and argumentative, why you call me when you about to tank? Why do you call me as the Titanic is going down?
Maybe it's because I don't know how to say what I want to say, but maybe they come to women that do not back down.
But you call me, but you called me argumentative, and you said that I was an angry black woman when I wouldn't back down before. Why do you need me not to back down now?
Oh, because it's not them. Plain and simple. It's not them. It's not them that's about to get what they air quotes say is aggressive behavior.
So you want me? It's almost like you're out in the playground and you're messing around and the bully comes to fight you and you want to call me to come help you fight the bully. Why you won't call me?
Yeah, I get you. I think it's because we don't back down. Like, we take things head on. Women are notorious for being the leader of a household, even though, you know, they say the man wears the pants. But mm-hmm. It's truly the woman that defines the whole household most often. We are the ones that really forge. If there's a situation, we can fix it. That's just kind of, I wouldn't say all women, but I would say a good majority of women are fixers.
And we add fixer on top of everything else. But my toolbox is only valuable when you've got something broken. If you don't think anything's broken, my toolbox is offensive.
Now, it's a definite double standard.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been in a situation like that. I mean, they did call, I am like the fixer.
Exactly. They've sent you to places that were not doing well. And you pulled them out. As they say, you got them out the mud. And you fixed them. Look, when I moved here in 2008, I had no intention of pastoring. But the very first church they sent me to, the bishop that sent me there said, this church is broken. This church needs someone who has a restorative, a gift of restoration and a restorative spirit that can help them. And what he was saying was basically everybody that had been there before did not do a great job. And this church was going down quickly. We need somebody to save it. That's why you sent me there. I left after a few years, went to seminary, completed my degree. But when I finished my degree, you know what they did? They sent me to yet another church. When I went to that church, it had experienced some losses, but by the time I left, not only had we won awards for 2 years as pace setters for active ministries, we also brought a lot of people in and created relationships in the community that were not there before. I'm definitely a woman, because the leadership that was there before did not, and then the leadership that was there after I left did not. But while I was there, that was what we did. So if I'm so loud and I'm causing so much trouble, why is it that you call me when the ship is sinking? Why is it that you that when you have business ventures that are not doing well, you call a woman? You want to put her at the helm? I think it's because if I put her at the head, if we win, we say, yes, we have her at the helm. She was a good choice. But if it continues to go down, it'll give you a reason to say, you know what? We tried it with a woman. It didn't work. We're never going to do that again. That's what I think. Did your audio go out again?
I don't know why it keeps doing that. I have all my internet, have all my bars. The only rationale that I could think of is exactly what you just said, like, oh, great. And usually, most often, when women win, they say, the team won.
The team won. Yes, that's what they say. The team won. But if you
pay, I mean, I'll be honest, I have been guilty of doing that too.
Mary Kay.
Because I do believe in teamwork. I believe in collaboration. I do believe in giving credit where credit is due. I believe putting people in position to win, to help them move forward in their career. Because, you know, somebody helped me do that early on in my career. I do believe in that. And I do believe in teamwork. And I often work best in collaborative efforts. And when I'm not in a collaborative effort, I'm miserable.
Understood. And collaboration is great. But I still think as humans, we still have an issue with a team where somebody calls us out as being angry or combative or argumentative or just mean. I know it is for me because they've labeled me as all those things.
I have gotten to a point in my career that I have just come to the conclusion that I'm going to be who I am, who I've always been. And if that doesn't mesh with X amount of people or whoever, that's on them. I'm at a point in my career where I'm going to conduct my business the best way I know how. And if I get labeled, label me. And I recognize not everybody is in the part of their career where they can be like that. And I'm very upfront and honest about how I conduct business. And I'm very upfront and honest in how I conduct my relationships. And I may give more grace to personal relationships than I do business relationships sometimes.
Oh, now why do you think we do that? I mean, that's definitely something we do. Why do we give Tyrone, who doesn't come home at on time, doesn't text you a call for 2 or 3 days, doesn't really take you on dates, just goes and pick you up a 10-piece fried hard with lemon pepper?
Yeah, chicken wings and fries. We don't go on dates.
Right. Why do we give them grace, but we are gunslingers when we're in the boardroom? And we don't mind being argumentative. Why do we give Tyrone so? And I'm just using the name Tyrone, of course, because the song, you know that.
I was like, have I dated the Tyrone? I don't think I have.
I don't think I have either. But why do we give Tyrone so much grace? Why do we give Madea so much grace? But when it comes to business, we don't mind being labeled as a gunslinger and being aggressive and being argumentative. Why is that?
I'm trying to think of my own answer, and I really don't have an answer. I think maybe because the personal side of who we are as women, they may get to see a different side of us than our business side.
Okay, I can dig that. I can agree with that, because who I am in the boardroom, it's definitely not who I am in the bedroom or in the living room, for sure.
I think that's it for me.
But does that mean that, because for me, while I am a go-getter in the boardroom and in my professional endeavors, when it comes to relationships, I feel like I'm weak. I do sometimes feel like I'm weak and that I put up with a bunch of stuff. And I put up with it, and put up with some stuff that I normally now at 40 years old, I look back and I'm thinking, what the hell was I thinking about? But I'm
Don't
telling
worry, you're not the only one. I feel the
you.
same way at times.
But I don't ever want to be labeled as being argumentative or combative or hard to handle in relationships. But in work, like that's what we strive for. We want them to know I'm not backing down, and this is what I stand on, and this is what I believe. But in relationships, we don't have that same, we don't have that same approach. And Lord, I'm not sure about you, but I know for me in the church, oh honey, I did not mind being argumentative. I did not mind standing my ground. If I don't want to say the watchword, I meant what I said, and I'm not saying it. But when it comes to relationships, I was very soft.
I think early on I was soft, and then something switched in me, and then I wasn't soft. Not that I was, what did you say, a gunslinger at
Oh,
work?
I'm a
Like, I don't think I was a
gunslinger,
gunslinger in a relationship, but I think I didn't tolerate things.
I was never a gunslinger in relationships, ever. I've always been. Okay, I know you didn't, except for this, until this last one. This last one, it wasn't even about me being a gunslinger. I just ghosted. I just left. But in the past, I have been the one. If you don't call me back, I'll call you. If you can't come see me, I'll come see you. If you can't afford to take me out, I'll pay for it. Even if you talk to somebody else, I'm not gonna jump to conclusions to think that you're trying to date somebody else. It's just some. It's just. Oh, it's not that. Yeah, all of that. All of that. All that dumb stuff. I did all of that in relationships. But in my work and board in the boardroom, ma'am, you didn't mess with me. Like, cause I was gonna eat you up. That's just who I was. That's who I've been. I can remember one year having a performance review done, and the woman said. When she walks in the room, we wait to see how she behaves to determine the mood of the whole meeting. If I come in there and I'm happy and I'm giggling, we're good. But if I'm upset about something, she said it ruins the entire demeanor, the whole morale of the whole team. Was it true? No. I know she was just being petty. But do I think that sometimes in business we have a greater influence when we are seen as labeled as enraged because we strive not to be we strive to be the total opposite when it comes to these relationships. Because you'll back down in a relationship where you won't back down at work. Why?
Way, but I think it was something that hit. I don't know if it was like 35 or 40 that I don't back down in a relationship either, because the other way didn't work for me. So
Ain't none of it working. How about that? No. Ain't none of it working for me.
a whole nother subject.
Whole nother subject. Well, we're gonna talk about how you can date men and women and none of it work. It's just it don't work. And none of it works. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Well,
But
I do think that women should be who they are in every facet of their life, and just try to do the best they can. And I really do subscribe that people are going to think what they want to think, regardless of, you may laugh loud and they be, oh my God, she's so extra, and it's like, oh my
right.
God, I'm just laughing. Like, calm
Just
yourself.
calm your nerves. I'm just laughing.
So I do think that does play into things. But I mean, I just think you just have to have whoever your supervisor is. Hopefully they are a leader of service, and care about you and took the time to get to know you. I've been fortunate in that area. I've heard some horror stories not only just radio, but just general business, just in general, just some terrible managers that probably had no business being a manager. But I think women just have to operate who they are. And if you are the angry type, or you are the I'm going to fight this out type, you have to take ownership of that too. And you have to accept that's who you are. And you know what, if you're not that person, you get labeled that way, govern yourself accordingly. Because those people that complain about you are the types that would go to HR, I feel.
Oh, for listen, I remember previous employer, there was one lady. I said to her, your microaggressions are a bit much. She went to HR. We had a meeting. We were in the meeting. She was upset because I had painted her as a racist. No, I didn't. I said, your microaggressions. Nonetheless, she kept going on and on. So I took out a post-it note. And I drew an olive branch and a dove. And I said, and I showed it to her on the camera. I said, here, I'm extending the olive branch. Let's just squash this. I said, we don't need to continue with this same behavior. We don't need to continue. And I named off some things that she had done. The next thing I know, I got written up for making her feel uncomfortable.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what kind of led to me saying, you know what? It's time for me to go. And now, and consider and think about this. I am what people consider a leadership development maven. I wrote a book about leadership development. I talk to people from high school age all the way up to those in the last season of their career about leadership. I teach leadership courses. I build leadership courses. And you know what they said? Well, we wish you had stayed with us so we could further develop your leadership.
Okay, yeah. That's confusing.
Well, you know, this is the same company that had someone in the company that kind of inspired me to write that second book, who looked at me and said, you just don't really look like leadership. You don't look like somebody that would lead anything. So,
oh, gosh.
But that's
okay.
One of those type places that I did not back down.
But you know what? As terrible as that is, it got you to where you are now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm eternally grateful for that.
It's unfortunate that you had to have that experience, though.
Oh,
that sucks.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely sucks. But like you said, had I not had that experience, I would have never left. I would have still been there. It's kind of like it was at my party when I told the story about my mentor, Chandra Dunn Ford, and my other mentor, Deborah Lawson Lewis, that when I applied for the jobs, I knew I had rocked that interview. And they both told me no. And if they had not told me no, I never would have gone back to school, because they both said, you need to go back to school. And I did. So I'm eternally grateful to them for their influence. So had I not had that disruption, I don't think I ever would have left. I would have stayed there and then would have still been dormant. Because, I mean, I really wasn't doing much. I was clocking in every day, and that was it. Enjoying their money. That was about all.
But I know. Everybody hates when I say this, but I really do believe everything happens for a reason.
And I believe the same thing. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You know, I'm still Reverend Agnew sometimes to them. I still know.
Yes, you better know, take us there.
You know, I still got a little bit of that too, you know. But I believe so. Well, look, it has been an amazing time. We are right at the end of our session. So before we leave, let's recap. Let's recap. The title, Enlightened versus Enraged, The False Narrative. A false narrative is painted of us as women when we do not sit and just take it, and we take the opportunity to take a stand, to be passionate about what we believe in. What advice can you give people who wonder often, do I sit here and be quiet and just take it, or do I speak out and speak on what I believe in?
Wow, what advice would I give? I think it's really situation dependent. We do also have to recognize that not everybody is in a position where they can be as vocal as they want, because they have families, they're caregivers. So sometimes, unfortunately, in just in life, whether it's business or personal relationship, sometimes women have to have that job. They, you know, I don't feel this way personally, but we also have to recognize not everybody has a glorious life. Some people have to have that job to work to support their family, their caregivers. Some women are supporting their spouse. So I do think you have to use your best judgment. And I think if you have a good relationship, maybe that is a good starting point to express yourself to your boss on how you feel about a certain dynamic. And taking this a step further to your personal relationships, whether it's a friendship or a family relationship, your significant other, you have to be able to be in a safe space to have that somewhat difficult conversation, so maybe they can hear you when you're trying to express yourself. So my advice is to read the room before you are vocal, but if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you can be vocal in your relationship, your job is not in jeopardy, I say choose your words wisely and make sure that your voice is heard.
Mine would be select your battle, choose your battles. It's all right to be strong, and it's all right to have an opinion. It's all right to be able to express your opinion. But if you're not in a position, but kind of to piggyback on what you said, if you're not in a position that you can accept the, what comes after, then maybe this is the time for you to sit and watch. But be prepared in the future. If you do have to stand on what you believe, the worst thing that you can do is to come across as fiery and to come across as being angry when you're really just passionate. Be passionate, but learn, like you said, learn your audience. Learn how you can talk to the people and maybe even express your point without being, without ruffling feathers, I guess, without getting anybody upset. One thing that I had to learn was it's all about delivery. It's all about how you
Yes,
say it.
all about delivery.
I can go
Absolutely.
right, and I can, and I learned that. Let me tell you where I learned that. I learned that doing the restaurant reviews for my food page. You know, my food page has over 11,000 followers. I can't go. I can go in a restaurant. The service is bad and the food is bad. If I go in there and say, you know what, this place is crap, this is nasty, and I'm never coming back here again. Or I can say, hey, you know, I tried it. If this was great, but this wasn't. I really think that if you do this, you can make something this good even better. You'd be amazed at how what a response I got from that. Versus even if you look on my page, the people that rave and rant, they don't get a good response. But the people that come with a kind word that's just constructive, it goes a long way. So even in relationships, in business, in your church, wherever you are, when you can be constructive instead of destructive, that's what can lead to your success. Be transformational, don't be confrontational.
Yes, I agree with all that. That's really good advice. I'm like writing it down. I'm like, that's really good advice. Like I always say, read the room.
Read the room. Be transformational, not confrontational. We should put that on a t-shirt.
Press it.
Yep, we're gonna put that on a t-shirt. Well, Mary, thank you so much for your time here today. This has been a joy. And just trust and believe when we get ready to talk about the other topics
Okay.
that I'll be calling you back and say, hey, let's get on again. We may even bring some more of our friends on. But thank you so
Yeah.
much for your
I
time
appreciate
today.
you and our years of friendship. And I'm so proud
Absolutely.
of you, Dr. J. I really, really am.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you all listeners for coming to join us tonight in the Lotus Lounge. Hopefully you found something that can be of value to you as you struggle, as you strive, not struggle, but strive to find peace, purity, and strength. Have a good night.